Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Shoup.
We're going to talk this morning about the Commissioner of the Revenue's Office in Stafford, Scott Miowski. The Commissioner is in this morning along with Mike Sinkowski, the Deputy Commissioner of Revenue in Stafford County. Good morning to you both. Good to have you here.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks for having me back.
Good morning, Ted. Thanks.
Mike, this is your first time here, and when you're a first time guest, we have to know a little bit about you before we can go forward. How long have you been with the Commissioner of Revenue's Office?
I've been with the Commissioner for about 10 years, and prior to that, I was in GIS, so I've been at the county for a total of 17 years.
Okay, so you've seen a lot of things in Stafford.
Yeah. So I basically, I've kind of worked in IT, and I've worked in finance, and now I'm kind of doing both. So,
sure, for you, Scott, it's nice to have an employee that has that kind of range and knows the county from a number of perspectives, especially with what you do and with GIS and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, I've had a number of employees in over the years, Ted, on this show. So, you know, I hire really intelligent, high-quality people to make up for my deficiencies. I often tell people the only skill I have is the ability to hire good people. And I do that, and Mike has been invaluable to our office with that. It's almost rare to have, you know, a finance and an IT background. Like I think Mike went to University of Mary Washington, has an MBA in accounting, but then came to the county and worked IT for a while. So the combination of that skill set's really allowed our office to do things we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise. Like when we're having discussions, you know, here's the way it works in the office, Ted. I'll call a meeting with my deputies and I'll say, wouldn't it be nice if a piece of software did this, and then they all kind of groan, and then they get to work on it, and Mike will come back in a couple weeks and say,
yeah, we can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I take all the credit for it.
Right. It's like, what an innovative thinking office this is.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. It's a great setup we have. Great for me, at least.
Having that kind of, because I would think, Mike, that over the years, I mean local government has changed, and things have gotten in so many areas, and for you to be able to look at things like that and to be able to say there is technology now that we can do things that we could not do in this office.
Yeah, and especially with like things being in the cloud and stuff, it makes it a lot easier to sort of manage things. Like the county doesn't have to take on so much responsibility of buying new hardware every 5 years or so. You just have a company that kind of houses all that up in the cloud. You connect to it through a web browser and away you go. So there's a lot of additional opportunities out there now that we used to not have.
I think, Scott, you take a look at how Stafford County has changed, not only just the technical end, but just the people end. Somebody like George Gordon, who was in your office for decades, probably, I don't know, ever imagined that Stafford County would be what it is today.
Yeah, it's definitely changed a lot in the 25 years or 23 years that I've been commissioner. I don't know what George would think about the office today. He was very forward thinking, and the office was always on the cutting edge of technology. So he kind of laid that technological foundation, and then we've been able to build on that from there, which is good because our work has become increasingly complex. As you know, the economy globalizes. We never thought we'd have to track macroeconomics, like big global things, because now they affect our tax base, like the value of vehicles and the demands of our taxpayers have grown to the point where, you know, we've got to utilize technology to, one, continue to do the job, and two, meet the demands of our taxpayers. So they're really pushing us to provide better and more efficient service, and it's good. It's good.
I'm sure, Mike, in your case, that you're glad that you do have some of this, some of these backgrounds, because not that you can't have just one specialty and be able to work and be an asset to the office, but in your case, you've got a number of different areas that you can contribute to the team.
Yeah, and it's something that I kind of strive to set out for when I joined the department. So I started as like a real estate supervisor, and I was kind of controlled or in a smaller environment, sort of. But then when I took on more IT roles, I've expanded to basically support all the functions of the office. And I'm well-versed in personal property, business property, and real estate now, and even the assessment portion of it. So, and going back to technology a little bit, one of the things we've really been able to do is move our folks from less, like they're no longer really doing data entry daily. Mm-hmm. It is more, they're more of analysts. And they're helping us solve problems instead of just putting information into our system. So.
I would think too, with what you do and in the office and just the background you have, that you would also be a good asset to even other offices in the county.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I've collaborated with many offices within the county. I actually started as an intern in the planning office. I'm familiar with all their processes as well. I definitely feel like I would be a good asset to most county departments, and I'm pretty well versed in their processes right now.
Well, you think about this, Scott. I mean, local government has really to keep up with all these things that you two have talked about. You have to be versatile, and you have to be open to change with just the way the war, because we're not only just talking Stafford County now. I mean, you're talking world.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah. And, 20, 25 years ago, we'd have our silos. We'd have our little, mm-hmm. our little kingdom in our office, and we'd all have our own computer system, and we'd all have our own processes, and wouldn't even think about what's happening down the hall, let alone in the rest of the world. But, technology's kind of broken those barriers down, and it's a lot more collaborative, and you can't just think about what happens in your office. You have to think about how it impacts the treasurer's office, the planning department.
Yeah.
And the county's advanced to that point, and everybody works well together, and that's why we're able to provide the service levels that we have.
More coming up. Scott Miowski, the Commissioner of Revenue in Stafford, along with Mike Sinkowski, the Deputy Commissioner of the Revenue in Stafford County. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
They are our country.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. You can weigh in about today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
We're talking local government this morning, the Commissioner of Revenue's Office in Stafford, specifically Scott Miowski, the Commissioner, and Mike Sinkowski is the Deputy Commissioner. So, Scott, we were going to jump right off and do this, and then we got into Mike's background. But the Commissioner's Office, what do you do?
That's me personally or the office in general?
Let's stay with the office.
Okay. All right. So, we are the Tax Assessment Office. We technically only have two jobs. We're to find all taxable property, mm-hmm. and then identify what it's worth. And it's a little more complicated than that, but you can boil it down to that. So the county is primarily funded, at least in terms of local dollars, through the property tax. And most people know about the real estate tax. We've talked about that a lot over the years when I've been in here, but also the personal property tax, which is people are most familiar with the car tax.
Yeah.
They hate it, but it generates about $60 million worth of local revenue. So between the car tax and the real estate tax, that generates about $250 to $260 million of local revenue.
Okay.
So we have to figure out every 2 years for real estate what the value of every piece of property in the county is. That's the reassessment. And then every year, we have to identify what vehicles everybody owns, and then we use NADA values, book values, and we apply those to your vehicle, and then that creates the bill file. So we've got a big giant file with every county residence name, and then all the property that they own and what it's worth. And then we usually have that ready about mid-April. And then we sit and we wait for the Board of Supervisors to set the tax rate. So in mid-April, when the Board of Supervisors sets the rates, mm-hmm. we then take those rates and apply them to the values that we've got. So now we've got the owner, the property, the value, and how much they owe in taxes. We then take that file and we hand it to the treasurer's office to collect.
Yeah, so just to kind of play out the entire process.
Okay, yeah, so it's now the treasurer's office has it.
Yeah, so now the treasurer will generate a bill and have those mailed out to the citizens. There's usually a due date that's about 30 days out. Then they start collecting the monies. When the funds come in, they allocate them to their specific funds. Some of them they have to, you know, put into like a restricted account. It goes to specific purposes. That's usually like utilities and things like that. Or they may collect, like we have community development authorities. So they're collecting money that goes specifically to fund, to go towards these specific communities and or
yeah.
go to different entities. Then whatever's left over in the general fund, they're responsible for investing that and then also making distributions to cover county expenses.
So those two, really those two, when we're talking local government and we're talking about taxes and paying things, and those two offices are closely aligned.
Oh, yeah. We have to work together every single day to get the job done. So,
one question, and this for any locality, if I see that there's a mistake, whether it's you think I have a car that I don't have, or I don't, you know, there's a mistake either, whether it's with vehicles or property, is it the commissioner's office in my locality that I go to get that straightened out?
It is, yeah. So most of the mistakes or issues that we deal with are on the personal property side. Houses don't move.
Right.
So when we have a reassessment, we have an appeal period, but we usually don't have a lot of appeals. But every day the phone's ringing all day long about vehicles, because people will move, or they'll sell a vehicle, or they'll buy a new vehicle, mm-hmm. and they won't tell us. By law, they're supposed to tell us, but nobody knows to do that. So
I always assume DMV did that.
Well, we use DMV's information, but a lot of people will move and not update DMV.
Okay.
Or you sell your car to somebody else and they never switch the title over. So it's off your hands, but the title is really still in your name.
Yeah.
You don't even know it.
And if the title's in your name, you're still getting the tax bills.
Yeah.
And then a lot of times you'll throw those bills away. Like, I got rid of that car. They'll figure it out.
That's me.
And then 3 years.
I did that.
3 years later, we're trying to help you with this big delinquent tax bill that you've got. So that is unfortunately a daily occurrence on the personal property side.
I've already learned something. So to play this out, say, yeah. for instance, I sell a car to a relative in Georgia.
You have 60 days to let our office
I need
know.
To let her. So there, yeah. so it does come on. If those kind of things fall on me to let you know.
Yeah, and there's a 60-day window where we'll just accept your word for it. After that, we need documentation, which could be hard to get if it's not a relative and it's some random person.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, and the documentation is important, and it drives people crazy, because all the circumstantial evidence can point to you sold your vehicle to a person in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But without the documentation, we have nothing to show a state auditor. If they come in and say, why did you get rid of Ted Schubel's vehicle? Scott, we know you're friends with Ted. Why'd you take that vehicle off the tax rolls? If we don't have documentation, then we can't prove that it was a legitimate, you know, exoneration, or that we removed it legitimately.
This is interesting to me, because on a lot of these things, local things that sometimes can just drive you crazy, if you just contact the local office, you can probably save a lot of headaches.
What I love about these shows, Ted, and we've been doing shows together for a long time, since I'm not your commissioner, I think you feel comfortable admitting things to me.
I do.
So I hope for your sake, Debbie Williams in Spotsylvania is not listening.
We're all good. We're good. I'm all up to date. Good. But I didn't know. I didn't. I always just thought that's a, you know, they'll get the information from DMV. And that explains to me then why when a vehicle keeps showing up and you just keep saying, and I've always taken the pressure, they'll get it the next time.
Yeah. Yeah. We won't.
And so,
until you tell us.
Yeah. So, since we're talking about cars, there was the bill last year in the General Assembly that you were involved with Delegate Scott, and it had to do with equal value and
it turned out to be a
big deal at the time. I didn't understand it, but
it did.
It turned out to be a kind of a big thing.
Yeah, nobody ever envisioned that used vehicle values would skyrocket the way that they have the past couple of years. So Virginia law didn't really accommodate that. It didn't allow for localities to lower their car tax rate because nobody thought you would ever have to lower that rate. But when the values went up, if the boards didn't lower the rate, then tax bills were going to go up accordingly. And values went up in some cases, you know, 35-40%, some specific vehicles as much as 70-80%, really desirable vehicles. So if the board didn't adjust that rate, people were going to get just clobbered with huge tax bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually has budgetary implications as well. So some localities, they wanted that windfall of cash, but that causes problems down the road because you know at some point those vehicles are going to go back down in value.
Yeah.
So the responsible thing to do was to lower that rate, but there was no mechanism in the law. So I approached Delegate Phil Scott, and he put a bill in that allowed localities to lower their car tax rate. And our board did that. We lowered the rate from $6.49 to $4.49, so a whole $2 reduction in that rate. And that kept everybody's car tax bill roughly flat.
Okay.
Now, the problem that we're facing is the value of those used vehicles is dropping. It's coming back down to earth, coming back down to where we all thought they would.
So the board of supervisors.
Now the board is going to have to raise that rate up from $4.49, and kind of the gut reaction of taxpayers is going to be, oh my gosh, they're raising, you know, they're increasing my taxes. And in most cases, that isn't what's going to happen. The rate will go up, but think of it like a scale. As the value drops and the rate goes up, you end up generating about the same amount of money. So most people's tax bills will stay about the same, even though they're going to see that tax rate go up. It's the reverse of what happened last year. We saw mm-hmm. the tax rate drop, but the tax bills remained flat. So okay. The boards, I commend them for doing this last year. And they are committed to keeping those bills flat. So hopefully folks will give them the benefit of the doubt and trust them on it, because I think they've earned that trust.
So that's be looking for that when budget time comes. Mike, when we talked about real estate, last year was a reassessment year, wasn't it? So there's not
– Yeah, last year was a reassessment. So this year only about – so we pick up any changes that happen during the off year. So if you put a deck on or something, or you get a permit to finish your basement, you will add that value to your property. And we sent out notices. We will send them out in February, February 10th. And there's only about 1,600 notices going out. So only 1,600 properties out of the 58,000 we have in the county are having a change to the value of their property.
So here we go back. We talked about cars. If I have something, if I have a deck, or I finish off my basement, or I get a pool, is that something that I'm required to let the your office know about?
No, we typically get that information from the permit that
for
you take
out. For the permit,
out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's how we know to go out and collect, kind of lay eyes on it and collect that information.
And you've got the people that go around in you have people going around the county all the time, don't you? You know, actually eyeballing property.
Yeah. Every day we have our appraisers out in the field, and we also have a data collector who her primary responsibility is like this, to pick up the small items, and the appraiser usually would pick up like a large house or something. So actually, it's really only one person sort of picking up a lot of this information. And as we get closer to the deadline,
yeah,
the appraisers help as well in picking up decks and finished basements and other miscellaneous things like fences and pools.
Well, and Scott mentioned, because a lot of time, I mean, Scott mentioned the fact that you don't usually, a lot of people usually don't end up contesting something they've got. Some do, but the number isn't as large as a lot of times as sometimes you think it would be.
No, we really have. I think our appraisers do a very good job of explaining,
you know,
their process and how they arrived at the value, and they can show them all the information, and I think that really does help cut down on the number of appeals that we get.
And to kind of put in perspective, he mentioned the new construction that we pick up every year. So when you're driving down the road and you see a new distribution, Amazon warehouse, for example, that is a real benefit to our tax base. Just last year alone, we picked up $4.2 million in new tax revenue from all of the new real estate construction.
I want to talk more about that. We'll take a quick break and come back. Good stuff this morning. The Commissioner of Revenue's office in Stafford. Our focus, Scott Majewski and Mike Sinkowski here. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It is 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. Opinions, we've all got them. And we'd like to hear yours on Town Talk, brought to you by EV Mobility, here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Commissioner of Revenue's office in Stafford, our focus. Commissioner Scott Majewski here, along with the Deputy Commissioner of Revenue in Stafford, Mike Sinkowski. We, right before the break, Scott, we were talking about the Amazon centers, the distribution centers that are around, and that's a big deal for Stafford. I mean, and on the revenue side specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know they're somewhat controversial when they get approved because folks are rightly concerned about traffic, but they are huge revenue generators for the county. As a general rule of thumb, they generate about one tax dollar per square foot of building space. So if you've got a million square foot distribution facility coming in, it's going to generate about a million tax dollars for us a year. And that's a combination of real estate, business property tax. A number of taxes make up that amount, but it's a huge revenue boon for the county. And the way I think about the traffic, whether it's Stafford or Prince William or Spotsylvania, those trucks are going to be on 95 anyway.
Right.
And they're all located near exits. So I get people's concerns, but we have to... When you're in a county growing the way Stafford is, with as many service demands as we have, you unfortunately have to make some difficult choices because you have to have that tax revenue.
Because
if it doesn't come from them, if we're not generating that $4 or $5 million from distribution facilities, it's going to be put on the backs of the homeowners. They've been a real benefit to the county in terms of tax revenues.
Well, and in most cases too, they're like the ones that I'm thinking of are over by the airport, and they're in areas, like you say, anyway, that they'd be going through anyway.
Yeah, and the airport, a lot of folks don't remember this because it's been so long. When Centerport Parkway was designed, it's designed the way it is because it was built for distribution facilities. That's why it has these big like looping roads that go nowhere. We just had a tax issue that was blocking folks from coming here. We were the largest county in the state that still taxes inventory, which, you know, a Walmart and a Target, they don't care, but you get into a million square foot with goods packed floor to ceiling, that tax became a real hurdle or block for them coming here. So we were able to, you know, get a bill passed in Richmond, and the board set a low tax rate or no tax rate for those facilities. And it's really they've exploded ever since they did that. And we've more than made up for the revenue that we might have gotten had we kept that small tax in place.
Mike Sinkowski, the Deputy Commissioner of Revenue in Stafford, I would guess that your office works closely with both the General Assembly and the Board of Supervisors when these kind of issues come up. They're kind of small and don't oftentimes get a lot of attention, but they're important for bringing in some of these businesses.
Yeah. Last Monday, Scott and I, we were both down in Richmond talking with our delegates and senators, and we have a bunch of bills that we were trying to push through that help with transparency with the government, and also to try to get the county some relief from some of the actions the state has taken. I don't know how much detail you want to get into, Scott.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion over the years that, and before I start this conversation, I'm a Republican and I don't want taxes to go up. But I've come to the conclusion over the years that in local government, people understand that it is these local taxes that are funding their schools, mm-hmm. their sheriff's department, their fire department, and now roads, since the General Assembly or Richmond is almost washing their hands of roads. We have to pick that up as well. So folks generally don't mind paying local taxes, but they want to know where that money's going, and they want it to be as transparent as possible.
Right.
So we've been working closely with Delegate Durant for a couple of years now, and she really gets it. Like, she gets taxes and transparency and the importance of that. So we're working on a couple of transparency bills. So as clear as we can make the process, then the more comfortable that taxpayer is going to be, and it just makes government function better when people have that level of trust. And they don't get that level of trust if things are murky and they feel like you're hiding things from them.
Right. Well, and there is that murkiness when you're talking the federal government, mm-hmm. but not so much real, and even sometimes with the state, but not local. I mean, that's the one difference locally that we see.
Yeah, and we really work at that. And one, it's the right thing to do. And two, we're going to run into everybody at Walmart or Target anyway. So, like,
right.
we've got to be able to answer for what we do. We can't hide anything because we can't hide. And I think that is a big difference between us and even the state government, but especially the federal government, where there's just this nameless, faceless bureaucracy. We're not nameless and faceless. We're here. We're your neighbors. So,
right.
you know, we want you to feel comfortable with what we're doing.
Scott Miowski, Mike Sinkowski from the Commissioner of Revenue's office in Stafford. Have we talked about the business property tax and where that fits into all of this?
Yeah, no, we briefly mentioned it, but this is business property filing time. This is our busiest time of the year. So the business property tax generates about $10 million for us. What it is, every business in Stafford County every year has to file on everything they use in their business. So if you look around the studio, Ted, all of this needs to be cataloged and returned to us by February 15th.
That's why our engineer was in here last week writing down all these microphones.
Good.
And these monitors and everything.
Good. Yeah, that's probably what he was doing.
Okay.
And then we will we have about 6,000 businesses on the rolls. We have to work 6,000 returns before April 15th when the board sets the tax rate. So what we're doing now, we're one of the first counties to offer online filing. So we're encouraging folks, if there are any business owners out there, to go look at our website, file online, because what you can do there is you can save your inventory list. So every year you're not recreating the wheel.
Yeah.
You just go to the list that you have saved, add and delete, send it to us, and then there's no human error, there's no, you know, processing on our end. So we encourage folks to do that.
Yeah, the system will do the math for you, because it is a little confusing how to calculate the totals for each year and things like that. So it really is a good system, and I encourage everybody to use it. And if you have trouble, reach out to our office. We'd be more than happy to help walk you through it.
Yeah, we really take the time to help walk folks through that online system. Because we know once we get them trained,
yeah.
then we're probably not going to have to talk to them in the future. So we will go the extra mile to make sure you get it set up right the first time. So don't hesitate to reach out to us.
As an IT guy, Mike, did you have anything to do with setting this up?
I did. It was one of the first projects I worked on when I came to the office, actually. It was a three-part step. We first had meals tax filings, which happen every month. So we first set that up online. Then we did registration processes for businesses online, and then the third step was the business filings. So,
but I would think that this, the business filing, to have that online is a big help to just the, I mean, a business owner is a business owner in everyday life. This is just something you got to do. But like you say, to be able to do this online and just go back and make little small changes online every year, big time saver.
Yeah, no, it definitely is. Instead of writing it, you know, you got your sheet over here and you're writing everything down. Yeah. It's already in the system. You just log back in, say, oh, I got rid of that, and I added a few more items, and I'm set to go, you know.
I would think in your case, too, whether it's – and whether you pick up other ideas that other people are doing in the state, or just because you play around and do IT kind of things or think that way, that there are a lot of opportunities for you in the course of a year to say, hey, why don't we try this? This might be a better way of doing it.
Yeah, definitely. And like Scott alluded to, this wasn't something that existed before our office developed it. So this is from his mind and implemented. And I helped with the implementation of it. So, it's great when we can kind of, you know, come together and create something that benefits a lot of localities.
Scott Majewski, Pioneer, is another thing that you've done. This is,
well, you know, I don't want to brag, Ted. Call me what you will.
No, this is pretty cool, though. Things like this come out of an office. I have always said, I mean, a little small thing that you do is just when you put videos out talking about these things, those are incredibly helpful.
Yeah, I can't talk enough about my employees, and one of the things that truly makes our office special is they're invested in the community. They're not just coming and punching a clock. You know, I have folks who I went to school with, went to high school with, working in my office, and they're longtime Stafford residents. Mike's now been here 20 years. He came to the area when he started at Mary Washington and loved the area, and he's now vested in the community. So we want to do these things, and we're not just punching a clock. We want to make things better for the taxpayers and everybody in Stafford County.
Mike, that's got to be a great feeling to know that something like this is gotten this and other things that you've done in the office have made things easier for people.
Yeah, it's great. And I love talking to other localities and trying to get them on board with using these products too. We do a lot of demos for other localities. And this isn't the only project where we've kind of been a leader in developing. There was another one which was reading the deeds that come through for real estate.
Yeah.
So we had a little startup company come to us, and they were trying to sell us a product, which we didn't really need, but
it got
Scott gave them an idea. What if you could do this?
Yes. Wouldn't it be nice if a computer could read a deed and give us the information we need?
Yeah.
And then they did it.
And they did it 6 months later. They came back to us. They're like, hey, we got this product, and now it's being marketed throughout the country. So,
well, and things like this, we talk about Stafford being, I mean, this is a metropolitan area for, you know, it's population-wise and things, but you just even think for a rural area, this would be a great, may not have the staff that a Stafford or a Spotsylvania or a Prince William has.
Yeah, and this particular product, I know that we've had rural localities call us and talk to us about it for that very reason. They can't add staff.
Yeah.
So technology is the way for them to go.
What the we were talking about this off air, and it reminds me of as we talk about taxes, when you buy things online, the online tax that you have to pay. And I was actually bemoaning the fact that I had to pay something on a sweatshirt that I had ordered. And Scott gently reminded me that money goes back to the locality.
Yeah, this is an interesting story, especially in Stafford. Prior to 2019, there was no internet sales tax.
Loved it.
Yeah, Jim Gilmore set that up when he was governor back in 2021, yeah, and lasted till 2019.
I would buy things and it would say Pennsylvania and some other state, there would be a tax, and I would just say, too bad for you guys.
But that really helped in 2019 when they instituted the tax. It really helped Stafford County because we have what's called a retail deficit. We have all this money. Everybody knows we're one of the top, you know, median incomes in the country. But we had nowhere to spend it. Very few stores because we're sandwiched by Potomac Mills and Central Park. So people would spend their money there. Well, instituting the sales tax, now the point of sale is your house. It's your computer. So if your computer's in Stafford, but you're buying something from Pennsylvania, the tax comes to Stafford. And that really got accelerated with the pandemic when everybody was sitting at home shopping.
Yeah.
So our sales tax was flat at about $14 million prior to 2019, growing very little bit every year. Since then, it shot up to about $25 million. So since 2019, it's increased by about $9 million, $10 million a year. Every year, we're generating that extra revenue just because people are shopping online. So what I tell people is, go to Central Park, look at the product, make sure it's the quality you want, and then go home and buy it.
That is true. I've never thought of it in those ways. And that amount of money does play into what ultimately you're paying when the board is setting a tax rate.
Yes.
That's money that's coming in and you're not having to pay that.
Yeah, the total amount of local revenue that is in some way generated or flows through my office over to the treasurer's office is about $300 million. And about $200 million of that is the real estate tax. So if we can grow that other third, the more we grow that other third, the less we have to tax the homeowners.
Interesting. Scott Majewski here, the Commissioner of Revenue in Stafford. Mike Sinkowski is his Deputy Commissioner. We are talking talking local government this morning. We'll take a quick break and wrap it up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Brought to you by EV Mobility. Here to keep you moving. For daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. Got a question for today's guest? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
The Commissioner of Revenue's office in Stafford, our focus this morning. Mike Sinkowski is the Deputy Commissioner of the Revenue. Scott Majewski, the Commissioner. Before we get out of here, Scott, there are a lot of elections this year. A lot of local elections. Besides, it's a funny year because there are some of the state elections, General Assembly, but on the locally, everyone needs to kind of pay attention on a lot of important races.
Yeah, there are 17 elections this year between the state offices and local offices. Mm. And one of the things that I keep preaching to folks is you really have to pay attention this year because you've got legislative positions where you know, state Senate, General Assembly, Board of Supervisors, and they're making law.
Yep.
Then you've got constitutional officers. There are five constitutional officers in the counties, the surrounding counties. Each county and city has five. And you want a different kind of person for those positions because those are jobs. So a legislative position, you know, you need to be creative. You need to be in tune with what's happening politically. The constitutional officers are a different breed because, like I say, it's a job. Mm-hmm. I'm a finance official. The treasurer is a finance official. The sheriff is a law enforcement official. So somebody who has a background that might fit well in a legislative position doesn't always fit in a constitutional officer position. What's really important in our position is education and experience. So there will be four of the five constitutional officers running for re-election. Treasurer Laura Rudy is retiring. But of those four, there's over 100 years of experience combined between those four. And that's really what you need because the constitutional officers in all these localities, we're almost the political foundation.
Yeah.
We're long-term. Board members change. I've worked with over 40 board members, but we provide stability that they don't. And, you know, it's basically a director equivalent to a director level position. And those those require a certain level of training and education and experience. And my hope is that when people go to vote on these positions, that they look at it through that lens, that, hey, this is a job interview. I'm not voting for my friend. I'm not voting for a party. I'm interviewing for a job.
That's a good point because, go ahead, Mike.
And you got to remember, too, with a lot of these legislative positions, you're one of many, right? As a constitutional officer, you are the person. You know, there's no one there to cover for you or anything like that. I mean, you're on your own. You're responsible for the decisions you make. So it's really important to have somebody that's qualified and has the experience for those positions.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And a legislature with 100 members, you can hide a bad member.
Mm-hmm.
You can't hide a bad commissioner because we're running an office that is helping generate $300 million.
Right. And you know, I like that it really is a job interview and it's experience kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because whereas for a legislator, you're looking at a thought process. What do you think about taxes? What do you think about growth? What do you think about this or that? But that you're carrying out the wishes of the board and the law.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we're administering what those legislators pass. And we've got to, like I said, we've got to have the education and experience to administer it properly, or there are real consequences. If we don't generate that $300 million, there are real consequences to that.
Right. And if there are mistakes, you can't have, whether it's your office, or especially in the treasurer's office, you can't have mistakes, or all of a sudden you don't want to have the national spotlight on you because of a mistake a constitutional officer has made.
Oh yeah, I tell people, and I think it's true, that the two things that you want to desperately avoid as a county is a problem with your voting or a problem with your tax system, because that's the quickest way to get CNN at your doorstep.
Yeah. Good stuff, guys. Thank you for coming in. This has been it's been interesting. Mike, good to have you.
Thanks, Ted. I really appreciate it.
And just it's fun talking about your experience, and just you find out different people in the county and what they have provided, and you've provided a lot of help to the citizens of Stafford County. Thank you.
Thank you, Ted.
Mike Sinkowski, the Deputy Commissioner of Revenue. Scott Majewski is the Commissioner of Revenue in Stafford. Real quick, if people need to get a hold of your office, what's the best way to do that, Scott?
Oh, you can call us 571-658-4132. I'm on social media. I'm very active there. Go to our website. Go to staffordcounty.com.
Okay.
Departments. You can find us there. There's no shortage of ways to get a hold of us, and we're happy to help with any issue that you all have.
Scott Majewski, Mike Sinkowski with the Commissioner of Revenue's Office. That is it. See you in the morning.
Here to keep you moving for daily life, travel, or just having fun, visit goevmobility.com. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. Hear Town Talk anytime by subscribing to the Town Talk podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFBA.